Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Israel, to where there are intensifying reports in the press that Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Barak are determined to bomb Iran soon, in the fall, before the American election. The former spokesman for Shimon Peres, Gideon Levy, joins us. He has an article at Haaretz, The Hour of the Warmongers, and we will discuss the growing alarm in Israel that their leaders are bent on war with Iran. Then we'll go to Madison, Wisconsin, and examine the local reaction to Paul Ryan's ascendance as vice president on the Republican ticket. Matthew Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, joins us to discuss the political skills of his neighbor in nearby Janesville, who regularly gets re-elected in a blue-collar district, appealing to working Americans, even though his policies and priorities benefit the super-rich, undermine the middle class, and punish the poor. Then finally, we will speak with sociologist Todd Gitlin about his latest book, Letters to a Young Activist, which teaches protesters and dissenters how it was done in the 60s and how it can be done more effectively today. As America lurches further and further to the right, we will discuss idealism, identity politics, and the legacy of activism in the 1960s, and whether similar protest movements can be revived today. And joining us now from Israel is Gideon Levy, who is an Israeli journalist who writes for Haaretz and is the former spokesman for Shimon Peres. Gideon Levy's writing is highly praised and noted for its keen analysis, insight, and understanding of the Israeli as well as a Palestinian perspective. And he has an article at Haaretz, The Hour of the Warmongers. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gideon Levy.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
And when you talk about the Hour of the Warmongers, is Israel in a situation now that the United States was in under George W. Bush just before the invasion of Iraq, where there was a kind of war fever in the air? Is that what's happening in Israel?
I wouldn't compare, because nobody talks about the invasion into Iran. But Israel is very clear about its intentions, and Israel is very clear about her threats toward Iran. This is very clear. I mean, nobody can claim that this is not serious. It sounds very serious, it behaves very seriously, and I'm afraid that we are on the eve of another war.
But is it all coming from Netanyahu, or is there a group of politicians and military people that are advocating a military strike against Iran?
No, it's a very unique situation, which two politicians, two statesmen, Benjamin Netanyahu and Minister of Defense Ehud Barak, are pushing very, very hard for a long time in favor of an attack, while almost the entire military and defense establishment, in the present and in the past, they are all against it, or almost all against it. It's a very, very imbalanced situation, which on one hand, the political level is in favor, and the military level, which usually is supposed to be more militant, is very reluctant.
Well, surely, wouldn't it result in Hezbollah rockets raining down on Israeli citizens? I mean, isn't there an article? I was looking at Haaretz, and there's an article, a warning to Netanyahu from a writer who's saying, you know, what about the consequences to us, you know, from your desire to attack Iran? Are the public aware what the cost of an attack will be?
It's just starting now, because until now it was all about Iran having a bomb or not having a bomb, and nobody really paid attention to the price. And only in the very, very recent days, one, two, 3 days, the last weekend, the media started to describe the price, and I think that the nation mood is changing a little bit, even though I must tell you that the poll, which was published in the weekend, it clearly shown that there's almost a majority of Israelis who are in favor of an attack, almost a majority. But this might change when the price will be realized and explained and understood by the people who don't want an Iranian bomb. This is very nice. Who wants an Iranian bomb? A But one should be aware to the price of bombing Iran, and this might be a horrible price.
Well, but is there an Iranian bomb? I mean, there's no clear evidence that, one, that it exists, and two, that it will exist any time soon, at least according to the CIA here in the United States.
Yeah, nobody knows. We already have an intelligence fiasco in Iraq when everyone believes that Iraq possesses terrible kinds of weapons, and finally it was all about nothing. I'm not sure it is the case with Iran, but let's even assume that they are on their way to have a bomb. I mean, North Korea has a bomb, Pakistan has a bomb. We have to learn to live with it, no other choice.
Well, I believe, wasn't it the outgoing head of Mossad, Maya Dagan, who said that they don't have a bomb?
I beg your pardon?
I thought it was the former head of the Mossad who was quite categoric, saying, Maya Dagan, saying that the Iranians don't have a bomb. And they may well be trying to get one, but they don't have one.
Yeah. No, they don't have one. Nobody claims that they have one right now, but they are very, very close, or getting closer and closer to the capability of producing one. I mean, they don't have one. Nobody claims they have one ready.
Right. Well, then what is Netanyahu selling to the Israeli people? If you say the majority still want a strike against Iran, what is the rationale for this strike?
The name of the game is the Holocaust, Holocaust I and Holocaust II. Netanyahu feels that he is now in the late 30s, that Ahmadinejad is a Hitler, and he is the Messiah who will save the state of Israel from another Holocaust. That's more or less the frame of reference.
Again, I'm speaking with Gideon Levy, who's an Israeli journalist who writes for Haaretz. He's a former spokesman for Shimon Peres, and he has an article at Haaretz, The Hour of the Warmongers. So if that's true, Gideon Levy, then it would seem that maybe there's a kind of symbiosis between the Israeli right and Netanyahu and the hawks, and the Ahmadinejad and Ayatollah Khamenei and the Revolutionary Guard Corps who are running Iran, they also have a kind of persecution complex based upon the martyrdom of Ali and all of this stuff. So is that do we have a kind of symbiosis here with a persecution complex on both sides feeding into this insanity?
No, I wouldn't go so far, because finally, Iran is threatening Israel and talking about extermination of Israel, while Israel is not talking about exterminating Iran or the right of Iran to exist. It's not. I wouldn't compare, and also comparisons are here unnecessary. Israel is going in a very, very dangerous path. And Iran is going to get a very dangerous start. This does not mean that both parties are the same.
Right. I wasn't suggesting they are the same, but I think the problem is that the Iranians' martyrdom complex may prevent them from being rational about trying to negotiate. I mean, clearly, the one thing that Netanyahu has achieved so far through his threats is he's got the international community quite concerned. And they're leaning heavily on Iran to make a deal, aren't they? I mean, because nobody wants the Straits of Hormuz closed. Nobody wants gasoline to be $10 a gallon and the entire economic global economy crashing, surely.
Yeah, this is right. But don't forget also that the international community is not stopping seriously Netanyahu of attacking Iran. I didn't hear very, very clear voices from Europe, and even not from the United States, really clear voices which call Netanyahu not to dare to go to an attack without collaborating it and coordinating it with the United States. So the international community is rather passive right now.
Well, I think the president of the United States is in a difficult spot, isn't he? Because it's very clear that Netanyahu is close to Romney, and Adelson, who's the biggest funder for Romney, is also very close to Netanyahu. It's no secret, I would think, that Netanyahu would prefer to have Romney elected. And that leads a lot of people over here to be somewhat suspicious about their motives, you know, because we've had that whole scenario of the October surprise under Jimmy Carter. It was never proven, of course, but it nevertheless was floated. And the latest reports from in the Israeli press indicate that there's a fear that this attack on Iran by Netanyahu may happen in the fall and even before the U.S. elections. So there's no question that this would affect the American elections if it were to happen, surely.
Yeah, it's all true. And time will show.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think, I mean, there's a lot of smoke. Where's the fire? Why are the press in Israel so up in arms on this story? And where's the actual evidence here? Is there any, or is it there just an assumption that this is the mindset? I know your newspaper, Haaretz, have had an editorial condemning Netanyahu for his denunciations of the non-aligned movement and trying to push Ban Ki-moon into not going to Iran. And Ayalon is declaring diplomacy dead. I can see why people think the clock is ticking, but what's the actual fire in terms of all this smoke?
Look, anyone who will tell you he knows will not be taken seriously. I really, there is so much misinformation in this game that it leaves all of us quite confused. I don't see a situation in which an American president cannot prevent Israel from attacking. I think that Israel is depending so much on the United States that it should be a very, very simple task to prevent Israel, you know, by some pressure, obviously, but it doesn't seem to be an impossible mission. And I don't understand how come that so many American officials have to come back and forth to Israel and beg Israel not to attack. I would expect it to be much more simple. And, you know, many times you forget who is the superpower here between the two, Israel and the United States. So I don't know really what is the role of the United States. I don't know really what is the role of Israel. I'm not sure that anybody knows. And only in a perspective of time we will understand what's going on here. Because logic, you don't find much.
Well, but surely there's got to be some memory. If we're talking, I'm not talking about the Holocaust type of memory, but the most recent memory was the war against Hezbollah that did not turn out that well. And we all know that that war made Sheikh Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, a hero amongst the Arabs. Now, the reverse situation is happening now because of Syria and because of Nasrallah and his Hezbollah's support for Assad. They're actually on the ropes. So is Iran on the ropes. They may lose their important ally in Syria. If Israel were to attack Iran, they would reverse this entire situation and play right into Assad's and the Iranians' hands, surely. Is anybody discussing that in Israel?
Yes, they are discussing everything. But they wouldn't compare, because any operation against Hezbollah cannot be compared to this major operation against Iran. And also, nobody can compare the power of Hezbollah to the power of Iran. We are dealing here with a regional superpower, and the whole scale is different. I wouldn't compare. All the possibilities are more or less discussed in Israel. But as I said, we are quite lost in misinformation.
Well, but you would accept a proposition that this is a moment where Iran and Hezbollah are likely to suffer a great reversal in Syria. And if Israel were to attack Iran, that may actually strengthen the Syrian regime. I mean, isn't that a logical conclusion?
Sure. I just wrote it 2 days ago. Absolutely.
Right. Well, you know, I'm calling you to, you know, the New York Times is carrying a story today saying that Israeli officials call for declaration that diplomacy with Iran has failed. And it talks about how the press over there are full of speculation that that Netanyahu is determined to attack Iran and may happen in the fall before the U.S. election. So clearly one's hoping to get some solid information, but I take it that there is none except how would you describe it? Solid suspicion that this is going to happen?
I really don't know. We should just hope for the best. What can I tell you?
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Gideon Levy.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And hello again, I'm Ian Masters. I was just speaking then with Gideon Levy, who's an Israeli journalist who writes for Haaretz. He's a former spokesman for Shimon Peres, and his writing has been highly praised and noted for its keen analysis, insight, and understanding of the Israeli as well as the Palestinian perspective. He has an article at Haaretz, The Hour of the Warmongers. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back and go to Madison, Wisconsin, to talk with the editor of Progressive Magazine about his neighbor, who's just been nominated as the vice president on the Republican ticket.